Good morning, brothers and sisters, near and far. I don't know how it is for your worship in your living rooms, but it's good here. And I so hope, as Charles has said, I so pray that the time is coming when we can come together to worship corporately again sooner than later. It's been a long time. And I, for one, want to come together to worship the Lord corporately sooner than later. I hope that we can do that in a couple of weeks. We will keep you posted as how that's going to look and when it's going to happen. Before I go to prayer, I also want to say happy Mother's Day. And I know that my mom probably doesn't have, I know she doesn't have a computer, she doesn't have a smartphone, so she probably can't even see us this morning. But to all the rest that can, and those of you that are here, happy Mother's Day. God bless you. I was talking to a couple of moms yesterday, among other things. And when I think of Mother's Day, and I think I said this several years ago during the Mother's Day sermon, moms go through a lot, anguish, and dads do too, but moms take things to heart. And they're burdened so quickly and so easily by things. And I was talking to a couple of moms yesterday, and I'm thinking, today is Mother's Day, and I know moms all over that have lost their children, some lately. Moms that have, well, struggled with their own physical cancers and surgeries. Moms that have wayward children. Moms that just have these burdens. Maybe wives that are mothers too that have had their husbands walk away. And I've spoken to some of these in the last few days, and I'm just thinking today is Mother's Day, and oh, how we long for our ladies, our mothers, our wives. My daughters happen to be mothers too. But women to have a good day, and yet all these things burden them. I want to pray for moms today here, and at 3 o'clock, as Charles said, I'll pray again today live, as we've been doing for weeks, and I'm going to pray for moms. And so, as Charles said too, I hope you'll take a look at the bulletin. I know it's online, and some of you haven't got access to computers, so I suppose you're not listening today because you don't have a computer, but we do want to encourage you to keep praying for those names that are there. Cancer, all over the place. Little children needing surgery and having difficulties. Moms today that are in care centers won't be able to see their family because they're unable to have that back and forth. And so I pray that you will look at those or find those prayer lists and remember those folks in prayer. Thank you for joining us today. Happy Mother's Day, moms, all over the globe, in this community, in this sanctuary, in my family. Happy Mother's Day. Let's pray. Gracious and eternal Father, this last song speaks to me, and I hope it has spoken to people in the comforts of their home. We will worship you. As we gathered last week, I prayed, Father, that there will come a day. There will come a day for all of us who have put our faith squarely in the Son of God, who have surrendered completely to Jesus the Christ, who are following Him. There will come a day when we will worship You face to face. And today, Heavenly Father, as we have come to this point, we haven't gathered in large groups. We've been told not to. But as we come to this point, we come to worship You. Oh, how we need You, Father. Oh, how we need You, Jesus. Oh, how we need Your Spirit, oh God. In America and beyond, in our families, in our homes, in our churches, in our businesses, in the care centers, we need You, oh God. And today is a good day for us to worship You. and to give you thanks for moms. The role of motherhood, the blessing that they are, the encourager, the one that bandages our bruises and skinned knees. So oftentimes the one that pray with us at night and tell us the good news of Jesus. Thank you for the role, Father, that you created in the Garden of Eden when you created Adam and then created Eve for his helpmate and told them to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. What a beautiful role you created when you created the relationship of man and wife, but the role of dad and mom. Thank you for our mothers. Thank you for our dads. Bless them, Father. Draw them close. And for those moms that are hurting today and struggling, Father, from a multitude of reasons, I know they're out there because I've spoke to them. Please comfort them in a special way. They've lost their children. They've lost their husband. In some cases, their husband has walked away. In some cases, they've passed away. Their children are wayward. They've got their own physical struggles. Whatever the case may be, Father, comfort them, we pray. Encourage them this day. Help them to bask in your presence, in your goodness, in your grace. And for all the rest on that prayer focus, Father, those that are struggling with cancers, the treatments, the difficulties, the little boy the child mentions that will have surgery today, Father, we lift him up to you and pray thy will be done. Please comfort, please strengthen, please heal, please help them to feel your very closeness today, I pray. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this reminder from Jeremiah. I believe it is relevant for today. May we, as Jesus said so often, that have ears, may we hear what the Spirit is saying to our hearts and minds today. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I got to thinking as I was preparing this message, this is Because They Have Forsaken Me, part four, and I know there's going to be three more parts, and I hope you're not getting bogged down by that, because perhaps I got to thinking when I was creating this number four, knowing that I have some more coming up from Jeremiah and from Ezekiel, all kind of blending together. Maybe you're thinking we've looked at these similarities long enough. Maybe we have looked at, you're thinking, the similarities between the people of Jerusalem that I've been talking about, that Jeremiah is addressing, and us. Maybe you're thinking, we've looked at this long enough. And I thought that, I had that fleeting thought in my mind, thinking, what if people are getting sick and tired of Because They Have Forsaken Me series? And then I got to thinking this. I just see so many things today that are not right. They're not right. I just see so many things that are not moral. They're not good. They're not healthy. In society, but also in government, in the church, in the home, I see so many things that are not good. They're not right. They're not healthy. They're not of God. And then I think, Jeremiah proclaimed with tears and passion and was thrown into jail and thrown into a pit and fed nothing for almost nothing. And this went on for 40 years, and he continued to proclaim the word that God had given him to the people. And at the end of the day, you read it, you read the whole thing. At the end of the day, the majority of the people did nothing about the message he proclaimed to them. And I'm just thinking, brothers and sisters that are listening, or maybe have heard the other three parts of this, and I hope you'll tune in for three more, because I think there's three more parts to it. Maybe some of this stuff, this hardship, this difficulty, this judgment could have been avoided if we would have put our dependence upon the living God. Maybe We could have avoided some of this stuff. Maybe they could have avoided Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, death, starvation when the siege happened in Jerusalem. Maybe if we would depend upon the living God to a new level and stop depending upon ourselves or the government or somebody that doesn't have the answers, maybe this stuff wouldn't have happened. And so, for those reasons that I've been feeling, I felt we needed to press on with the series, "Because You Have Forsaken Me." If you've got your Bible, I'm in Jeremiah 13. As you're turning there, let me say this. I'm not going to read all of Jeremiah 13. I'm going to read some of the verses, then we're going to jump to Jeremiah 29 and see a couple of verses there. But let me say this, brothers and sisters. I'm not used to this camera right in front of me now, so I'm used to looking back there, and I'm used to looking at people, and now all of a sudden I got this thing right in front of me, so I'm a little bit out of sorts here today. But let me say this. God has your and my, our best interest in mind. He did for the children of Israel at that time, and He does for people today. When He brought into existence the children of Israel through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and brought them out of Egypt, He had their best interests in mind. He longed to take care of them. He longed to feed them and provide them as a father does his children, as a mother does her children. God has our best interest in mind. But when we continually do our own thing, it will not go well. When we continue to do the other things that God has not instructed us to do and do our own thing, it will not go well. It is not going well in America today. I think you are aware. It is not going well in too many churches today. I think we're aware. It is not going well in the families today. I think we are aware. God has our best interests in mind. And we want to say and we want to blame God. Why did you let this happen? Why is this happening? He has our best interests in mind. But when we continually do our own thing, it will not go well. Just like Jeremiah 8, when we started this journey, and the lame prophets of the day who thought they were godly prophets said, "All is well." You remember the quote, "Peace, peace." And God said, "There is no peace." And I want us to understand, it is not God's fault we find ourselves in messes. It is our fault. Sin is not somebody else's fault, and it sure isn't God's. He has our best interest in mind. He wants to love us like a father would his children, a mother would her children. But when we insist on doing things our way, it isn't going to go well. Sin will catch up to us. I want to say this, and I've discovered during this time when the sanctuary is empty, I have an awful time getting done on time. And I look at that clock up there, and I see it clicking away, and I haven't even begun. And anyway, I hope you're comfortable in your couches at home, because I got a ways to go. But I believe this is from the Lord today. And as I've been saying for some weeks, I think it's time for church to sit up and take notice and love the Lord in a new way and surrender to Jesus in a new way and follow Him. Because I don't know if you've noticed, but it's not going well in America. It's not going well anywhere. I told you some statistics a while back, And I cannot get those statistics out of my mind. One of those statistics from this organization that George Barna is part of, in their polls, found that 6% of Americans have a biblical worldview. That's 94% of Americans do not. Of that 6, only 1 in 5, I told you this before, but I cannot get it out of my mind because I keep reading Jeremiah and Ezekiel. 1 in 5 sitting in the evangelical church of America, all denominations, evangelical people, only 1 in 5 has a biblical worldview. That means 4 in 5 don't. They're sitting in evangelical churches. I told you these statistics before, are now classified as notional Christians, meaning they would say, I'm a Christian, but do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you see the disconnect there, brothers and sisters? There's a disconnect there, and I can't get these out of my mind. I cannot stop thinking that if this is anywhere near close, then we're just like the people of Jeremiah's time. We're just like it. Hearing, but not responding. If these statistics are even close to accurate, we are in serious, serious, serious trouble, spiritually speaking, in America. They found in this survey of Americans are classified as notional. And then I told you the statistic, there's 23 more that call themselves nuns. We're now pushing 80%. And here we are, nearly 80% in those categories, thinking all is well. Thinking all is well. Just like the people of Jeremiah's time when he assured them all is not well at all. Jeremiah 13. I need to push on. The clock is pushing on. This is what the Lord said. Jeremiah 13 is a word picture. This is what the Lord said to me, Jeremiah said. Go and buy a linen belt, put it around your waist, but do not let it touch the water. I suppose because he didn't want it, that would affect it in some way. He wanted it pristine. He wanted new-like. He wanted it useful. So I bought a belt, as the Lord directed, and I put it around my waist. I just happen to be reading from the NIV for a few verses here, so if you're following along on the big screen, it doesn't look exactly like it because I'm reading just a few verses from the NIV. Sorry to confuse you. They're pretty close. Then the word of the Lord came to me a second time. Take the belt you bought and are wearing around your waist and go now to Pirath. That's from NIV, our New King James would say Euphrates, and those are two different places, so you start doing a whole bunch of commentary and trying to figure out what's he talking about, where'd he go. The long and the short of it is, it was a ways away. If it's a Euphrates, it's over 200 miles away. But anyway, the Lord said to me a second time, take the belt that you bought and are wearing around your waist and go to Pirath, go to Euphrates, and hide it in a crevice in the rocks. So I went and I hid it at Pirath, at the Euphrates, as the Lord told me. Many days later, now as you kind of drill down on that, that's a long time. That's not just a day or two, that's months. Okay, the belt has been in the crevice of the rock for a long time. Many days later, the Lord said to me, go now to Pirath, go to the Euphrates, whichever your translation says, and get the belt I told you to hide there. So I went to Pirath, and I dug up the belt, and I took it from the place where I had hidden it, but now it was ruined and completely useless. Or I love the New King James Version also, good or profitable for nothing. The new belt that he bought some months ago. But But now the belt was ruined and completely useless. Ruined or profitable for nothing. Verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to me. This is what the Lord says. In the same way, I will ruin the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. In the same way, he's giving them a word picture. This belt was new. It was useful. It was valuable. And now he proclaims it is completely useless, profitable for nothing. Thus says the Lord. This is what the Lord says, verse 9. In the same way, I will ruin the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. These wicked people who refuse to listen to my words. You see, that's what differentiated between Jeremiah and the rest of the children of Israel. It's a differentiation between us today. Those that refuse to do the word of God, he called them wicked. Those wicked people who refuse to listen to my words, who follow the stubbornness of their hearts and go after other gods to serve and worship them, will be like this belt, completely useless, profitable for nothing. For as a belt, then he describes just a little further for us, for as a belt is bound around the waist, so I bound all the people of Israel and all the people of Judah to me, declares the Lord. Why? To be my people. You see, I told you, he has our best interest in mind. He said, I want to take care of you. I want to provide for you. I want to love you. And nurture you and raise you up. But we were not willing. I bound all the people of Israel and all the people of Judah to me as we bind that belt around us, he said, to be my people for my renown and my praise and honor. But they have not listened. New King James says, but they would not hear. I don't know about you brothers and sisters that are listening today, but I'm seeing some similarities. I've been asking us for Sunday after Sunday, are there similarities in today's society and what God told Jeremiah to deal with in the time of Jeremiah? And I see all kinds of similarities. And I've said it to us every Sunday. Are we listening? Are we listening? They used to be useful to God. As a belt girded about their midsection, they used to be useful to God. And he gives them this word picture of this nasty, deteriorated, dirty, probably ripped, certainly no good. He gives them this word picture to show them that is how you are to me. Because you will not obey. You will not follow my precepts, my ordinances. You want to do your own thing. I would simply suggest to us friends today this. Are we seeing any similarities and listening? Verse 23 of the same chapter. Some more examples. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? They knew what was happening there. They knew what was saying. That's a black man, a man with black skin. And God is saying to, through Jeremiah to the people, can a person with black skin change to white? The answer is no. Or can a leopard change its spots? The answer is no. He gives them these word pictures. Neither can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil. In other words, he was telling his own people, you have gotten to this place so distant from me, so callous in your thinking, so independent of me, you can no more do good than a leopard's spots can change to no spots. That's what he's telling them. And I wonder if we've gotten the same way. Is that where we have gotten? They had gotten to the point they were so far, so distant, so distracted from God. He basically said to them, it's as impossible for you to do anything good as it is for a man with black skin to become white. That's what he told his people. I said this a couple weeks ago. He ain't talking to the Philistines. He's not talking to the Egyptians. He's not talking to the Moabites. He's talking to his people. These are people of God. Or they're supposed to be. Verse 24, I will scatter you like chaff driven by the desert wind. This is your lot, the portion I have decreed for you, declares the Lord. Why? Because you have forsaken me. Because you have forgotten me and trusted in false gods. That is why. We looked at the futility last week of cutting a stick of wood and adorning it and worshiping that. Idols and idol worship were the downfall of these people. We looked at that last week. Because you have forsaken me is the title of this series, because that's what they did. And I'm not so sure that in today's society, in this greatest nation on earth, we aren't finding ourselves in a similar category. We want to do it our way. Because they have forsaken me. Friends, I simply ask us today, are you living for Jesus? Are we living for Jesus? 54% say, I'm a Christian and have no personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That is over 150 million Americans. I'm a Christian, but have no connection with Christ through a personal relationship with Him. That is according to the statistics that they found. Are we living for Jesus? Is our nation living according to God's word and directives? I think we know the answers. Have we become like the linen belt in 21st century America, even Christian America? Have we become like the linen belt when he said, it is useless to me? These people were once upon a time vitally important to God. They were close and they were enduring. They were useful. They were helpful, only to become useless and, in his words, of no value. This is the word picture to his people. And I recognize firsthand America is not the nation of Israel. I get that. But America has been close, I submit to us. We have been close and enduring and useful and used by God over the last couple of centuries. We have been used of God and valuable. I look around, I read, I listen, and I ask us today, have we now become like the belt? When I look at the statistic, 6% of Americans have a biblical worldview. We have become like the belt. As a nation, we have become soiled. We've become damaged. And I don't even like those words, but he used them. Useless to God. Oh, I love this nation. Oh, I love this nation. But as a nation, we have turned our back on God and said, I will do it my way. Thank you very much. We have legalized every kind of sin imaginable. Even in the church houses of God anymore, we have set the book, his word, on the shelf and called it out of date. Even in the church houses of America, we have become, I fear, exactly like the people of Jeremiah's time. I will do it my way. Let me wrap this up because time is going away on us very quickly with a few verses from Jeremiah 29. Because almost everybody, if know anything about Jeremiah, everybody knows Jeremiah 29:11. But I want us to see I want us to put this whole story together. I am going to have another message from Jeremiah and a couple more from Ezekiel. It's all about the same thing. I hope you'll bear with me. I hope you'll endure it. I hope we will hear what God is saying to us. The context of Jeremiah 29 is a letter to the exiles. And I'm running out of time, but I want you to get this. When you read through Jeremiah and Ezekiel, there's got a lot of similarities. But when you read through Jeremiah, you get to Jeremiah 29, and it is a letter to the people that are already in Babylon. I don't have time to explain everything, but I think I've told you before, 40 years Jeremiah was speaking to the children of Israel. During that 40 years, some of the people, this is a 605, were carried away as captives. Daniel and the boys were some of them, 605. In 597, some more people were carried away as captives. Ezekiel and a whole bunch of folks carried away. There are captives in Babylon right now while Jeremiah is preaching. And now in Jeremiah 29, God says to Jeremiah, write a letter to those that are over there. Here's what it is. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. They are now slaves. Jeremiah 29 is a letter to the slaves, Israelite people from Jerusalem. They are in captivity because of disobedience and idol worship. They're the lucky ones to a degree. They're still alive. Many will die in 588, 7, and 6. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Here's what he tells them. Build houses, dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit, take wives, beget sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands so that you may bear sons and daughters. You see what he's saying? You're going to be there a while. You may as well get established. Because all along, when you read through Jeremiah, you'll see the false prophets were saying, don't sweat the small stuff, we ain't going to be there long. Even if Jeremiah is right and we get carried away to captivity, we're a couple of years, we'll be back. Read the whole book, you see that they still have this mentality. Still doing it my way. And God says to Jeremiah, write to those people that are already there this letter. You may as well build houses. You may as well take wives among your own Jewish people. You may as well have sons and daughters. And if that ain't enough, you're going to be there long enough for your sons and daughters to have their spouses too. You're going to be there a while. Seek the peace of the city. I love this verse. And seek the peace of the city where I have now caused you to be carried away. Pray to the Lord for it. They're slaves. And he's telling them, pray for the people that just carried you there and the city. Pray for its peace. Pray for in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord, verse 8 of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in the midst deceive you. Do not listen to your dream, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. That's the ones that said, don't sweat the small stuff. We're only going to be here a little while. God said, don't listen to them. They don't know what they're talking about. Verse 10 and 11, then I'll quit. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon. That's why he's telling them, put down roots. You're going to be there a while. After 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. Now, the people like Daniel that went in 605 as teenagers, by this time, they're in their 80s. Many people have died. They're there a long time. But there will be a remnant. After 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you, those that are left, and I will perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place, back to Jerusalem. And here's the verse that everybody knows. For I know the plans. That's the NIV. New King James says thoughts. I like thoughts because that seems to me a little different than plans, but nonetheless, God is saying to them, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. I know the plans that I have for you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Let me conclude this before we sing our last song, friends. God's thoughts, intentions, and desires and plans for his people then and now are good. Just like the belt. Go ahead, praise team. Come on up here. God's plans and thoughts for his people are good, just like the belt. I believe God has plans for his church in the 21st century. But those plans will never come to reality if we continue to ignore his ways and do our own thing. Friends, listen to me. We cannot go about life excluding God and his ways in everything that we do and expect to go well. It's not going to go well. Oh, you might say, well, life is fine for me, Jim. I've made plenty of money and I don't need God. In time, it will catch up to you. Please hear me. I'm not saying everybody in every church is guilty of what Jeremiah is saying here, but I am saying this. Please hear me. We have not gotten to this point in America where we are right now. I call it a mess. We've not gotten to this point, this mess we've gotten to right now by being obedient to God. We must surrender to him. Everything. My life, my health, my family, the church. We must surrender it all to him. Trusting him. Surrendering to Jesus. Being led by the Holy Spirit of God. Jeremiah said for 40 years, wake up, Israel. Wake up and repent of all the sin. And when you read through it, you'll see they never did. I'm simply asking us today, friends, because I think the similarities are too evident to ignore. I'm simply asking, are we listening? While we sing this last song, I've asked the praise team to sing that song we finished, because there's going to come a day we're going to close our eyes in death. And friends, if you haven't surrendered your life completely by repenting of all sin, surrendering your will to God, and following Jesus, then this song is not going to be reality. When we sing and talk about worshiping him face to face forever, if we don't get right with him here and now, this song will never be a reality. You don't know how much time you have. I don't know how much time I have. The Lord could be returning at any moment, but the signs are there. Have you surrendered completely to Jesus the Christ? If you don't know how, call Charles or myself. Send us a text, send us an email. We need to surrender to God's provision. That is Jesus. We need to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus if we're ever going to be part of eternity with Jesus. This is not a, I believe in God, I call myself a Christian with no relationship with God through faith in Jesus. 54% of folks are saying that. That's not it. This is, I give you everything, Jesus. Forgive me, come into my life, take over. You are my all in all. If you're not sure about that, friends, pray today. Forgive me. Father, I need Jesus. Come into my life. Take over. Take control. I want to follow Jesus. And if you're still not sure, send us a text, email, messenger, call us. Something will help you. Eternity is at stake.
As our time comes to a close, let's pray. Heavenly Father, may our lives become an endless hallelujah. Hallelujah means praise. Praise to Yahweh, our Lord God, our Father. So, Father, if there is anything in our life that just makes you a something instead of everything, help us to forsake those things that have gotten in the way of our faith, that have diluted our testimonies and our walk with you. Help us to drop and forsake them and spend more time in this stay-at-home order to use that time wisely, with to spend moments in your presence. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Convict us in those areas that we have turned to idols, that have taken more of our time and distracted us from things of faith, things that would make us more fruitful for the kingdom of God. Help us and open our eyes to those things that are not good for us. So we thank you for your loving rod of correction, for those lessons, because it is for our good, because you want what is best for us. And that is to be your ambassadors, your representatives here. So help us to shine more brightly. And as we have concluded, we do pray again for our mothers and all women of godly influence. We thank you for their guidance, how you have used them and worked through them to bless us. So as we go forth, we give you praise and we give you thanks in how we can change our lives to sharpen them and to make them shine for you. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.